Standing by. I am control.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of Iron Control, the Star Wars LCG podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Matt Knott, and joining me, as always, are Dan and Jonathan. Guys, how's it going?
Good, you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Oh, not good. Actually, I lied.
Hi there.
Hey, John.
How's everyone doing tonight? Excited to be back for number 2?
Oh, yeah.
Excited and surprised that we're back so soon. But FFG kind of gave us those spoilers a bit quickly, which is great.
Fantastic.
Pretty excited about that.
So, if we could just introduce ourselves for people who may have missed our first episode. My name is Jonathan, and I live in Ottawa, and I go by the forum name of Aussie Jedi.
And I'm Matt, as I said, and on the forums I go by Toktamish, T-O-Q-T-A-M-I-S-H, and I live in Truro, Nova Scotia, Canada.
And I'm Daniel. I live in Alberta, Edmonton, Alberta, but it feels like Hoth right now. We've got an insane amount of snow today, and we're supposed to keep getting some tomorrow. Took me what normally takes me 15 minutes to get home, took me about 2 hours today due to all the snow.
Wow.
And I go by Chunky Gorillas on the forums, and yeah. So what are we going to get into first, the little bit of news we have?
Sure. So there was there's not much really happening right now with the news in the Star Wars world, except that Episode 7 trailer will be out tomorrow, and that is so exciting.
And it won't be fake this time, like all the other ones have been this week.
Exactly. Tomorrow being Friday, November 28th, we should probably specify for anyone listening to this in the future.
Yeah, there's a good chance that it will already be out, the trailer, by the time we get this out.
Possibly. Right.
Depends how fast we are.
Yeah. It'll be nice to have the real one out instead of all these fake ones, because I've seen people kind of losing their minds over these fake ones, and everyone kind of needs to... I think once the real one's out, everyone might calm down a little bit, or maybe not, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Well, has anyone been duped into clicking on any of the fake trailers, like myself?
I've watched a couple, but I went into them thinking they were fake, and then was quickly, cemented that fact that how fake they were.
Yeah, same. I went into all of them thinking this is fake, and as soon as I saw it, I was like, yeah, this is so fake. Because most of them use, like, video game footage or computer game footage and stuff like that. And I've had a few people send me links to ones that I've already watched and said are fake, and I'm like... They're like, oh my god, the trailer's out here, look. And I'm like, dude, fake. What? Aw.
They're probably a little happy that that's not the real trailer.
Yeah. From some of the comments I saw, yeah, people should be happy when they found out it's fake, not getting even angrier that, someone took the time to put these up. Like, the one that seems to be the most common is one that says, like, international teaser trailer, whatever. I've seen that one, like, a dozen times now. And that one is done fairly well. I'll give whoever made it credit. They did a good job putting this together and piecing it together, but still, it'd be nice if it wasn't trying to be passed around as being official.
Yeah.
Well, the one that was out maybe a week ago that was terribly fake with a shot of Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford, it started off with the Yoda speech, and you just got to expect that J.J. Abrams is going to use his own footage for something this amazing, this monumental of a movie. he's going to use his own speech and his own footage. And for them, for people to be saying, it's the trailer. It's like, watch the whole thing. Look at the fake smiles that people have been rendering on their faces and tell me if you think it's fake.
Yeah. But they are pretty well made, I'll give them that. They are duping a lot of people.
I think I held out for about 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And then I've got to click on it. I've got to see if it's fake.
No, that's the thing. Like, you got to check. There's all those Marvel trailers that got leaked recently. This stuff does get leaked.
Well, there was a Jurassic Park or Jurassic World trailer that was up. And I figured, well, if that's up, then they've got to have a Star Wars trailer up.
That was a pretty good trailer, too, actually.
It was good.
Surprised how much they're hyping up trailers nowadays, though. Like, you can go see the Star Wars trailers in theaters tomorrow in certain places. In Toronto and Vancouver, so all of Canada. That covers all of Canada, according to the businesses.
Yeah, but the special pre-release of the teaser trailer is just basically this weekend, because it's supposed to be going to all theaters in December. You know, December starts on Monday, so it's not really that big a deal, I don't think.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, it's going to be online, you know, like as soon as, like, they've already said they're putting it up on iTunes or whatever, so anybody with an Apple device can get it. You know, there'll be like 15,000 copies of it posted to YouTube in no time.
That's good.
There's a cinema or a theater in the States that are going to be showing the trailer 17 times in a row. And between each trailer, they're going to be having a round table. They're going to be talking about what they're going to glean from this trailer and then watch it again. And then decide what they haven't spoken about, you know, 10 times before.
That's amazing.
That's pretty funny.
I'm going to travel to that theater right now.
I hope there's actually enough in the trailer that there's enough to talk about like that. Yeah. I hope it doesn't just like show a little lightsaber coming up and an X-Wing flying by and be like, 2016 movie coming out.
Yeah,
I hope it's real trailer.
88 seconds, so it's only a teaser, so it won't be too long. It's not like a full-on trailer. I just hope there's some footage. I've actually got a bet with someone who he's like, it's just going to be all text. I'm like, I'll take your $10. It's going to have footage. He messaged me today. He's like, oh my God, I owe you $10. And then he sent me a link to one of the fake ones. And I was like, fake.
Should have just said, yep, you sure do owe me $10.
Should have, could have.
The guy who's hosting the forum or the roundtable on the trailer actually ran one with, I think, the second of the J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie, Into Darkness. And apparently that trailer, or maybe it was the first Star Trek movie, was all footage of the Enterprise. So they didn't really have a lot to work with. So people are hoping that it's going to be more than just an 88-second scene.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope it shows what we can at least start to suspect about the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Should we get into the exciting part of this episode?
Oh, I can't wait.
Or what do you think?
All right, so we have generously been given an early sneak peek of a new Scum and Villainy objective set. So it's the All Out Brawl objective set, and some people. We've mentioned who the main character is before, but the objective set is a Scum and Villainy set, and it's a one-resource Corellia location called All Out Brawl, where each unit will gain one blaster icon, and it's 5 damage capacity.
And by blaster damage, he means unit damage.
Correct. Thank you.
And also, each unit means your opponent, too. It's all units in the game, not just your own.
Yeah.
Which is something I definitely missed reading at first. I was like, that's awesome. I read it again. I'm like, oh, wait. That's interesting.
Oh, but it is awesome. It's important.
It's also important with Zekka, yeah.
Yeah.
I love the artwork. There's so much going on in this picture. It's just great to watch. Like
Yes, I assume we'll be posting them up online after, right?
Yeah, we're going to put them on our Facebook page, and then we'll put them to the forums probably after that as well. We'll put them on Facebook
Nice.
first to give everyone there a bit of a sneak peek. But like, if you look at the artwork really closely, like in the back of the picture, there's two guys just sitting there talking, having a business deal while all this is going on around them. Like there's a
Oh, yeah, I
guy
see that.
standing right beside them shooting someone else, but these guys are just sitting there. Yeah, hey, how are you? I'm good. How are you? Sup? Coffee? Sure. Just like, that's great.
That's pretty great.
And there's that random mug just flying in the air over the guy's head.
There's, yeah, with coffee going everywhere.
Or whatever it would be. And I mean, even the flavor text is great. It was all just a minor misunderstanding until the Rodian tried to apologize. No, you should not try to apologize to a Trandoshan.
The character that's actually holding up the table, the species,
yeah,
kind of looks like the race of Prince Caesar. The now,
oh, it's a Trandoshan. It looks
it
like
is for
Bosk,
sure.
Yeah. Although actually, it looks like to me, just the way it's drawn, it doesn't even so much look like a Trandoshan. It looks like one of the Gorm from Star Trek, which are an alien race in that one.
Okay.
That looks like a crocodile to me.
Well, that's what the Gorm and Trandoshans basically look like. Is yeah.
Oh,
crocodiles
right.
With two legs.
Spot on. So, what's next then?
So,
do you want to do that one, Matt?
Sure. Next is a card we've actually seen. It was in their initial articles that FFG released with the announcement for Between the Shadows. This is Zekka Thine, who is one creepy-looking little guy.
Oh,
he just looks so evil. He's a 4-cost, 1 force icon, 2-unit damage, 1 tactics, and then 1 edge-enabled unit damage. He's a character. He's Black Sun, which is important to note. And he's got a force interrupt. When this unit is destroyed, destroy each other unit in play, and he has 3 health. So that's why it's important that his objective comes with extra unit damage, because sometimes you probably want him to get shot and killed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, if you win the edge with him, he can shoot for 4 if his objective's out. I mean, he's pretty much going to kill any other unit.
My favorite thing about him, because there isn't many units like him, that can block the Falcon really well, because either if you win the edge, you either kill the Falcon or you can tactics who the Falcon brings in from the hand. It's always really frustrating when you win the edge against the Falcon, then it's just like it just pops away and goes away, and you can't do much.
Yeah, it's true.
But so that's nice because you can either they have to let their Falcon die or let whoever they bring in take a tactics icon. What about his interrupt? What do you guys think of that?
I think it's great. It's giving a lot of ideas for my new scum set, my new scum deck that I want to play. So I think it's fantastic. Matt?
I think it's interesting, and it's definitely one that you'd have to build around wanting to trigger it at some point. But I think scum have enough other stuff that you could play around that quite easily and make it work towards your own advantage.
Yep.
I mean, and it's important to know it's a force interrupt, so it's not like you can choose to ignore it sometimes if it's not to your advantage. You have to do this no matter what.
Yeah. One thing I thought when I first saw it, and I mean, it'd be going away from the theme of mono scum, and it seems like this box is really pushing for mono decks, but running with Seraph so you can deadly sight him, like to just do it when you want his interrupt to go off so you can control it, because it might be hard to get him to die exactly when you want him to. But if you need something like Deadly Sight or Force Lightning, you can kill him when you want to, you know. But then again, you're moving away from the mono scum, which seems like this guy might be better fit in a mono scum deck with all the Black Sun traits going around.
Yeah, I've always found that scum fit more the mono deck than some of the other affiliations have.
I agree. Because they need help from each other with the capturing and whatnot.
Right. Well, I'm actually excited for Zekka to play. Now, I know it's a neutral objective set, but with Asteroid Pursuit, there is the fate card that lets you place a shield on a target unit or objective. And then the event card in there is each shielded unit you control gains a unit damage and objective damage. So he's gonna have, you know, if he wins the edge, you put a shield on him. You're gonna have five unit damage. And then if he actually does go down, bring in from the scavengers objective set, bring in this Jawa scrap dealers.
Yeah, they're coming after the unit dies.
It's gonna be fantastic.
Pretty great. The other thing I like is if you have a lot of Blackstone characters out and he dies, there's an event, and I think it was Boosh's set that got spoiled a while back, that brings back all the Blackstone characters out of the discard pile.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Back into play.
Sure, of course.
So that's just huge. Yeah. Come back with, like, they all die, and then you just bring 6-7 units back into play, and, you know, that's really going to help since your opponent will have nothing.
I think it's the most expensive event that I've seen, the Show of Force.
Was it? It's 5?
It's 5.
Mm.
There's that 6 cost capture 2 units.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Owned by different players, different enemy opponents for 2v2. I think that might, I think 6 cost might be the most expensive event. I can't think of anything else that would beat that.
Mm.
I think it has to be cost 5 because that's a pretty powerful ability if you are building your deck around, you know, getting a bunch of Black Sun guys in the discard pile.
Oh, yeah. Well, the only Black Sun cards we've seen are from the Hunters, so Boosh and All That Brawl.
Yes, and then there's
Snuva as Prince, well.
Yeah, Snuva. And Prince
Caesar.
I can't remember how to say his name. Caesar, yeah. Right. He'll be Black Sun, so there'll be some more in there. And then Boba Fett's not, and I don't think the unit that comes with Boba Fett was Black Sun. I think it was just a mercenary. I can't remember her name. I think it's Hired Mercenary is all it is. I don't think that unit is a Black Sun either.
No, I think it's just a bounty hunter and a character.
Yeah.
It's character, bounty hunter, mercenary.
Right.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Freelance hunter.
So Boba Fett doesn't fit into the Black Sun theme, but still might be a great pick since that's a pretty strong set.
Yeah. I would say the box is going to be very heavy towards Black Sun just because we've got Prince Caesar coming.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense.
Well, there's only 5 new pods for Scum, right?
I think so.
And so 3 of them we already know are very Black Sun themed. So this depends what the 5th one is.
Yeah.
So I think I remember reading in the article that Jedi and Scum will each get 5 new objectives and everybody else gets one new one.
Yeah. They got to give love to everybody.
Yeah, it's nice.
Well, and it also makes sense from a sales perspective because if you only play X affiliation and none of your objective sets are in that deck, then or that box or whatever, you're not going to buy it. So
that's true.
It makes sense from their own perspective as well, you know, because funnily enough, they want to make money.
Yeah, that's fair.
Crazy.
Matt, have you seen? Do you remember what the Virago? Have you seen the Virago card? I don't remember seeing it yet. For Blacks, for Prince Caesar's vehicle. Has it been talked about?
Is that a card that was announced somewhere? Or you're just guessing based on what...
No, I'm guessing because if you put each Black Sun unit from your discard pile into play, that'd be great if a vehicle was a Black Sun.
Yeah, we haven't shown anything out of Prince Caesar's set yet, so...
Yeah. He's got to have a vehicle. It'd be awesome.
That's probably the one they're saving to spoil themselves when it's released. I'm pretty sure they do one for each affiliation for the deluxe boxes. They like to spoil one themselves the day it comes out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're going to leave something for us to be surprised about.
Well, and then we do see some vehicles in the initial article they sent out because it shows a Black Sun Headhunter, which is a Z95 ship, which is basically identical to the ship that's coming out for the Scum and Villainy faction in X-Wing. Mm. And Virago ship also coming out in X-Wing. And if you look at the objective that's on top of the card fan, it shows what looks like the Virago flying over top of like a, I don't know, it looks like a lava field or something. And the objective set's called The Best That Credits Can Buy. Each damaged enemy vehicle unit cannot trigger its abilities. So it's quite likely the Virago will be
there. So.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, Dan, do you want to talk about the... was there anything else you wanted to add to Zekka?
No, I think I pretty much said everything.
Yeah. So, Dan, do you want to talk about the next card?
Yeah, the next guy's a 2-cost debt collector. Got 1 force pip. He's a scum unit. 1 black gun, 1 resource, 2 health, and he's a character black sun. He's got nothing printed on him. It's kind of just a resource chud, I guess. Mm. He will have 2 guns if you have the objective out. So he's a good sleuth blocker.
Right.
But this guy seems a little underwhelming to me so far, I guess. Just doesn't seem to do all that much. 2 costs, though, having 2 guns and a resource is not bad. Just not amazing. What do you guys think?
I think he's okay. I mean, not every unit can be, of course, amazing in the set. And I like that he's 2 cost. And, you know, like you said, that he gets an extra unit damage potentially from the objective itself, assuming it's out, which makes him an amazing sleuth scout blocker, because he'll just kill him flat out.
Mm. Well, should you swamp your board with resources, and you have that opponent who likes to take down your resources, then if you've got 2 debt collectors in your discard pile, and then the event triggers, you can bring him back and get your resources back.
Yeah, I mean, it is nice that once you trigger an event, you know, got them in there.
Oh yeah,
they bring you more resources too, so you can keep playing the stuff out of your hand too. You just fill your board right back up after Zekka triggers.
It depends on what the card is though, and when it's triggering stuff, because like when you bring anything in from Show of Force, it only lasts to that phase. So if you're doing this during,
you're probably
going to be doing this during combat, because any other time it can be a waste. True. So those resources might not be needed because you might not be deploying stuff, but you might have some event cards you want to pay too. So it's hard to say. Right?
Yeah.
But hey, resources are resources.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 2 black guns is pretty good for 2 costs, though, if you have the objective out, because all the Stormtrooper-like cards are all 1 black gun, one white gun, so it's a little bit better, just conditionally better.
And if you have 2 of that objective out, all of a sudden you got a 2-cost guy with 3 unit damage.
Oh, that's true. But then you're facing units that have 2 extra guns, too.
Yeah. That's the one downside, is that it affects both sides equally.
Yeah.
That's true. So I think we've milked the debt collector for all we can do there. The next card is the an event card for scum. It's a 0 cost. It's called Arm to the Teeth. And it's a 2 force pip event. And it has a reaction. After a friendly unit is focused to strike, change each of its combat icons to a unit damage until the end of the engagement.
I like this a lot. I'm glad to see Darkseid getting more good zero-cost events, since Lightside has gotten so many good, really cheap or even free events, and Darkseid's kind of been, other than Force Choke, has been lacking in the solid, cheap events. But it's really cool, because, I mean, if you're blocking with someone, like a Galactic Scum, for example, you just need that one extra damage to kill them. You don't really care about tactics, and it'd be better to kill them. I mean, that's going to really help. And it's 2 Force Pip, so also good on the edge if it's not working for you.
If you're desperate, yeah. If you need something. Yeah. It's nice.
What do you think, Matt?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have much else to say that you guys haven't already said. It's decent. Yeah. And it could also be useful for, like, helping you just, you know, like you said, kill off that one unit that you just need to kill. Like, you know, if you got a unit with 3 combat icons, you change them all to, you know, non-edge-enabled unit damage until the end of the engagement. All of a sudden you can, you know, hey, look, Yoda, you're now dead instead of, you know, shooting me back in the face. Yeah. That's
very true.
I want to kill Yoda all the time lately.
No, it's definitely feels good to kill Yoda.
He's very annoying.
So the next card we have, Matt, do you want to talk about the next one?
Sure. This is Entangled, which I believe also comes in Boba Fett's new set. So it's a 0-cost event. It's got an interrupt. When an opponent chooses a unit to strike, he must choose a different elder unit to strike instead of able, and then you get to draw 1 card. So you get to force him to strike with something maybe he doesn't want to first, and you get to draw a card as well for 0. So it's hard to complain about any of that. I like it because it can force him to, like, let's say he wants to strike with a unit with a bunch of tactics or something, you force him to strike with something else before he can lock down your board, allowing you to then strike to hopefully take out that guy. So I like that kind of trip up your opponent.
I like that the card replaces itself, obviously. I mean, that's pretty big.
Yeah.
Not losing a card.
Right.
And what I also like is because whenever I'm playing lately, I've noticed a lot of people playing heavy, a lot of shields in their Jedi deck. So they swing with an Ewok and Luke and put a shield on Luke. And just making it so that Ewok has to strike first, giving you the chance to actually kill Luke before Luke kills you, is like you were saying. That's going to be pretty nice. Because you see a lot of little Chud units coming in engagements too, just to give their shields.
Good point. Yeah. Our last card is something maybe Dan can talk about this one.
I had to look up what this card does. It's a Heat of Battle.
No one plays that card.
Yeah. It doesn't end up in almost every deck somehow. I mean, it's solid. I mean, it fits the theme of the objective, but it's just lots of unit damage.
Yeah, it makes total sense, it being the Fate card. Any other Fate card would just been weird. I mean, I'd love to have seen a target opportunity, but it wouldn't have made sense with the whole theme being around unit damage.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It synergizes really well together.
So what do you think about this set overall? You get two units, two events, and a Fate card? What do you guys think?
And some resources. I love my resources, even though I never draw them in time. I think it's a great objective. It's going to please your opponent because he gets his extra unit damage. But then Zekka will wreak some havoc on his board, which is pretty cool.
Hopefully ruin their day a little bit.
Oh, it's going to be good.
Yeah, I think it's a solid objective set. It's definitely one that you're going to have to try and build around. Like, it's one you'll have to play with a bit, I think, too. It'll be interesting to see what other Black Sun stuff we get. But Black Sun definitely is getting a good kick for the theme and everything to be, you know, kind of a sub-theme within Scum and Villainy. Like, we already got Black Sun stuff previously in Lucrative Contracts. It's good to be getting some more references to the Black Sun. I like it.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that set. I think I'll have to play with it a couple times before I really know, because I feel like Zekka might be hard to get to work how you want him to. You know, your opponent may really try not to kill him, but I mean, I guess that's good for you too, since he's just a solid unit with three guns and a tactics. But it's something I'm definitely going to try playing with.
Has anyone thought of any interesting decks yet to construct?
Well, my idea was just put all the Black Sun into one deck. So, Matt was saying, Lucrative Contracts, and then this set, Boosh, probably Prince Zior, and then I think I need one more set. I'd probably put that new Boba Fett in, because that set looks pretty good.
And that's the exact same deck I was going to build.
Yeah.
No, go ahead, Dan.
I was just saying, then you get to try basically the whole new deluxe box too. So,
well, I think it's all going to be things from Shadows of the Empire, because it's between the shadows. So it's all. I wouldn't be surprised if the Boba Fett objective set is going to be probably the anomaly. It's probably the only one that's not going to have a Black Sun character, because Boba's not treated as Black Sun, whereas you can tell it's all. You know, it's all going to be Black Sun with the two that we've seen so far, and then just the title Between the Shadows, so Shadows of the Empire. I think it's going to hit us really strong with Shadows Black Sun units.
Is Boba Fett at all in that book, or no?
He is a little bit. Like when there's stuff going on around Jabba's Palace, they mentioned that they see him a couple times, but not overly much, not directly involved.
Because I noticed that his art, he's in like a kind of like a modern looking city. You know, he's obviously not on Tatooine in the art for his new card. So I thought he might have been hanging out with the Black Sun or something. I still got to read that book. I have it now. Just got to read it.
The planet that Boba Fett's on, the new one, I would say is Coruscant.
Just, yeah, that's what it looks like
to me.
The I read it a long time ago. I think it was an opportunity for the authors to really explore like Dash Rendar and characters that have got strong archetypes, like the smuggler type character, but then bring in new people, so bring in Bush and so forth. So I think it's a good book. Came out a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
I just read it a couple of years ago after I started playing this game, so it's a bit more fresh for me.
What, Matt, have you got anything unusual that you would put in with that set? I've got a couple of ideas.
Mixing it possibly with, like what I think Dan said earlier, some of the Sith stuff maybe to try and make it so you can trigger Zekka when you want to might work.
Right.
But it could be a tricky thing to do. Because like right. A smart opponent is going to, once you play Zekka, they're going to be really careful around playing a lot of units. I mean, if they're smart, because, you know, and I mean, that's an advantage for you too there. Like if you're slowing the light side down, that's less attackers they have to blow up your objectives. So
right.
It's all an advantage either way you look at it, whether they blow up Zekka and kill their units and all yours, or whether they just dance around them trying to avoid them. Either way, it's helping you. But I do think that, you know, trying to find ways to make it so that you can trigger him when you want to is not a bad idea. I just don't know how well mixing it with some of the Sith stuff would work, especially, you know, if you got like Force Lightning, of course, only comes with the Emperor. Mm. If you play the Emperor, you probably don't want to play Zekka and kill him, because that's a lot of resources down.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about putting in the Scavengers set, and you have Witten, committed to the Force, he can't be damaged or destroyed. If you have Witten and Zekka early on in the game, and then you Force, Zekka dies and kills everybody except Witten, if he's committed to the Force. Zekka dies, throw in your scrap dealers. If you have maybe one or two in your hand, that's two damage. It's going to help with taking out a couple of objectives fast.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. And that's one that I thought of too when I saw Zekka, was that, you know, Witten all of a sudden becomes a bit more relevant. Plus, Witten's objective, when it's flipped, destroys all units in play anyway. So it's another way to clear the board, I guess you could say. Like, the thing that occurred to me the other day when I was driving somewhere and thinking about Star Wars LCG, because I do that way too often. and I was like, for anyone who's played the Game of Thrones LCG, Scum and Villainy to me is the Martell of Star Wars. Okay. They punish you for winning. Like, Martell's very frustrating to play against in Game of Thrones, because I win the challenge. That's great. While you win the challenge, I poison you, I stab you to death, and I sleep with your wife. I'm just like, that's not fair. I won. It's so frustrating.
The most annoying thing with that is they lose one challenge, and then none of their guys have to kneel to attack anymore, so they can just do all the challenges again with all their guys, and then they can still defend. And you're like, but you lost. You should get downsides for that. But it's really, it's a fun family to play as, though, in that game.
The event in Witten's objective set is if you've got some more tricks up your sleeve and you don't really want to get Zekka off the board yet, you can play the event, look at the top two cards of an objective deck, and if you happen to see the Scavenger's objective, you can put one at the bottom of the deck, and then that may give you some time if you don't want it to trigger.
Yeah.
Because you may have something up your sleeve.
It's similar to the event that comes with the false report with the Aquarius Freeholders. It lets you kind of dig through your deck a bit.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, what are you guys hoping for out of the box to the other factions? Like, any characters you want specifically? Or for the other factions out of the Between the Shadows?
Well, I know we're getting an Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Luke's in that, right?
Luke's in there, yeah.
Yeah, we've seen Luke in full.
Yeah, yeah.
And Obi-Wan.
It'd be interesting to see if we get any new characters that maybe they've just kind of taken a bit of a license, maybe put a new Lando or something like that that has relevance to episode 6. So like Lando with his bounty hunter, like a Tatooine, I don't know. I'm just spitballing here, but
that'd be cool.
Yeah, in his special bounty hunter, his skiff guard suit, which would be nice.
I've noticed on the front of the box you can see Jabba the Hutt, Leia, and I can't remember his name, the crumb guy, the little rat. So I wonder if we're gonna get a new Jabba the Hutt even, or if he's just on the front of the box to show that it's scum and villainy. Because it also has Yoda and Obi-Wan who were in the set, but Jabba has not been shown yet.
Jabba hasn't been mentioning any of this stuff either. I think for smugglers, we'll see Talon Card because he's mentioned in the opening article that units like the information dealer Talon Card or the fearsome Starfighter Virago, so we know we are getting that for sure. So that'll be a Black Sun set too. So it'll be interesting to see what Talon Card does. He's an interesting character from the Thrawn books, as they're called. So it'll be interesting to see what he can do. But it would make sense for him to be smugglers. Anything else would just be weird. And then
one thing I've noticed. Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay.
Oh, I was just gonna say, it's not really a great source for things on this game, but on Wikipedia, if you look at the characters that appear in this game, Darth Vader and the Death Star number 1 both are listed as appearances. So I wonder how accurate that is, if it will be a new Darth Vader or not. Because it also has Obi-Wan, Yoda, and Jabba as characters, but...
Well, it portrays Vader in a really interesting light. I think they almost make him out to be compassionate to... Because he finds out that... I think he finds out the Emperor... No, I think... I'm foggy here, but I've read it so long ago. Doesn't Vader find out about Caesar doing something with the Emperor?
Are you talking about the book now?
Yeah.
Yeah, Caesar is trying to take Vader's place as the Emperor's right-hand man. And this is...
Yeah.
The Vader and the Emperor aren't getting along so well because the Emperor is disappointed with Vader's failure. And Vader is obsessed with trying to capture Luke. Caesar is also trying to capture Luke because Vader wants him, so he's trying to screw over Vader, and then other stuff happens. I'm trying not to spoil the end of the book.
Then they all live happily ever after.
No.
No. Well, one thing I noticed about Wikipedia, too, is if you read the description for the Star Wars Living Card Game, it says it's a cooperative card game, so maybe not the best source of knowledge since they haven't even updated that since they changed what they're doing with this game.
That's true.
One of the sets I'm looking forward to with this one is Family Connections, the Trooper one that gives them all shields. That one will help Troopers X finally be a thing.
Because one thing I'm noticing in this game, since everybody's playing Jedi shields now, or a lot of people are, that shields are super annoying. Especially now that they're starting to sneak into, you know, with some better cards, because you used to not see that many shields since the shield pods were kind of very much support sets, but they're really starting to shine now, and it's annoying to play against a board that just has so many shields on it when your deck is all tactics.
Well, you look at the Sabotage in the Snow. You've got the forward command post, and that gives objective damage to anything shielded. Each friendly unit shielded gets a objective damage, which is pretty cool.
It's definitely been a good set for the Imperial Walker Star Destroyer deck. The card that's for the light side has made shield so good is Asteroid Base. Because it can get a little crazy when they're blowing up objectives with their Guardians of the Peace and Ewoks.
Yeah, and with that, I'm surprised no one's combined it with Lobot set, because Lobot's got that enhancement that every time you play a unit, you can shield it.
There was a big French tournament, and a guy, I'm pretty sure, I'm probably not saying it right, but Trajan or something. He won. He had two Lobots in that set. Okay. With a, it was, I played the deck a couple times. I don't like a lot of the cards in Lobot sets, but it's pretty. It's a pretty cool deck. But that, like Security Council or Security Center, that's a pretty good card for that.
Hmm. So, I think Scum is really going to shine through. It's going to. I'm going to be playing a lot more. I always play a Navy or a sometimes Sith deck, but there's more and more cards that I'm seeing in the Scum releases that, man, they're looking good. They're looking really nice. Things are synergizing well with each other. Boosh's reaction that when a Scum unit has an ability, has a capture ability, tick the dial up. And you look at people like Bossk.
Shnuva.
Yes, Shnuva does the same thing and comes with
when he comes
with,
in
Boosh.
And then you pay out and play him again. Or you turn him to your hand and then pay out and play him again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's cool. I'm really liking it. Up here in Ottawa, a lot more people are playing Scum. I'm seeing my sort of play group pulling out the Scum deck a lot more. It's good because in these dark times, in these quiet times when we haven't had anything new in a while, it's good to try those new decks that you've been thinking about. You've seen people play.
No, yeah. Now that there's no real tournaments, big tournaments anymore for Tell Store Championships, my whole group has been playing much more, you know, tier 1.5, you know, fun decks. I've been playing lots of Scum. I've always really loved Scum, and I always mix Scum and Sith, but I always try to go for more Scum objectives. Like right now I'm running like two Jabba, well, it's two of everything. That's two Jabba, two Slave Trade, two Jawas, two Zuckuss, and then two Emperor. I've been really liking that deck, actually. I put the Emperor in there mostly for the Force Lightnings and the Protecting, but it's a pretty fun deck, and like I'm really loving Scum and so much tactics. It's so much fun.
Oh, it's great. I mean, I lost my train of thought. Sorry. It's great. I can't wait.
Yeah. So what else do we have on the agenda?
So I think that was all the main stuff that I wanted to talk about. We're doing a little bit of a card giveaway. Some of us have got some little giveaways that we wanted to award to a lucky winner. Matt, did you want to talk about what we have to give away?
Sure. So I've got two extra copies of the Orbis Text Vader's TIE Advanced. It's from the Season 2 kit from 2013. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit older now. And I've also got two extra copies of the alternate art Force Lightning, which comes with the amazing artwork of Starkiller on it, which I actually prefer that version over the normal version. So we're going to give fantastic. Up both of those. So we'll have two sets of prizes.
Right. I think the way we're going to structure this is competition is going to run until the Saturday, the 6th of December. And what you need to do is find us on Facebook, look up Ion Control, and it's all you have to do is post on the site. There's going to be a pinned post for the competition, and post your name, tag one other player of Star Wars LCG in your little community, in your meta, and also like us on Facebook because that's always fun. And we're going to draw the winner and announce it next episode.
Am I allowed to enter? I don't have any Vader ties.
Warning, hosts of this show may not enter the contest.
Ah, oh, dang.
Disclaimer.
Nor can their families, loved ones, or relatives, or anyone who is associated with them. Or whatever they usually say on those game show things.
Oh, yeah.
My girlfriend's played this game twice. She should be able to enter.
I think I might have one extra Vader's tie advance left, Dan, that I can probably find a way to send you for Christmas.
Oh, yeah. It's okay. I was mostly kidding, but...
You know what? I think we should get a Christmas special objective set.
A Christmas special objective?
I'm going to have to edit that out of the show. I've so never seen the Christmas special. I never want to. I've heard terrible things about it, and I think it would just ruin my childhood if I ever was to watch it.
Yeah,
it's fun. It's so bad. It's funny to watch.
It's got a lot of adult content in that.
Really?
Yeah, you read between the lines, and there's a bit of adult content that was a bit past the demographic of Star Wars. So I think from time to time we're going to have our hands on a few little surprises, and it's something pretty cool that we can do for listeners of the podcast, and I think we'll do that from time to time. So thank you, Matt, for supplying those little prizes. That's cool.
No problem. And next time we'll probably do something that doesn't involve just Facebook, just so we can kind of mix it up, so it's not always people on Facebook getting the goodies.
Right. Right.
There was a couple other things that I wanted to talk about if we're done with the main part, which I've lost my notes now, so I don't even know where we're at. Sorry, I'm bad.
We're towards the end. Back at the start. Now we can go back to the bottom now.
All right, so I just wanted to real briefly mention a tournament I went to on the weekend.
Sure.
It was a strictly for those of us who went up from Halifax, it was me and two buddies from Halifax. We went up, and for us it was strictly for fun because – the kit they used was the Mara Jade playset, which we'd already done that a while ago. So, like, I've got the deck box from it, and I got a bunch of Force Lightnings, obviously, because I have extras to give away. So the decks I played, I actually built my light side deck on the way there in the car, in the back seat. And then...
You weren't driving?
No, I wasn't driving. I was sitting in the back seat. My wife had our vehicle. And my dark side deck I built 11:30 the night before. But what was really funny was I never run either of the decks before, obviously, because they were just being built. But I won every single game with the light side deck and lost every single game with the dark side deck, which I thought was odd.
Wow.
But so the light side
deck?
Well, it was basically a Sleuth Scout deck, which I wanted to play Sleuth Scouts again because I like Sleuth Scouts. I actually think they're a lot of fun. So I was just like, screw it. I'm going to run Sleuth Scouts because I really don't care. Because I wasn't really worried about winning stuff that I already have. So it was obviously two Sleuth Scouts, which is across the Know-It sector. Two Raise the Stakes for the Blockade Runner, which I never actually played one the entire time. In one game, they all got captured by my friend Jeff's scum deck, which is very annoying. And then I had two defensive Yavin 4 to get the vehicles out for cheaper, so, you know, all fairly standard stuff there. But then what I changed from before was I actually put in two of Han's set, because Han's, I figure, is a pretty good way to clear the board of, you know, the Chud they might use to block my Sleuth Scouts. Plus, he's got an extra copy of Swindled. And then what else do I have in here? Oh, I've got Rendar's Wrath, which is Dash's set from Balance of the Force, which comes with the cheap little guys that are actually smuggler units that you have to defend with two guys or more whose name I don't recall right now.
I can't remember.
They're little alien dudes. They're one cost. But they're great. They go really well with the Sleuth Scout stuff.
Zakonin? They're the Zakona. They're
Arcona,
kind of got a
Rumor
head.
Monger or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. They're great little guys. They go quite well with Sleuth Scouts. And then I left in one copy of Prep for Evac because Rendar's Wrath is only a one of, so that way I have the two vehicle protectors still. But yeah, it worked really well. I was kind of surprised because there was one game where, like I said, Jeff captured like half my deck, and I was like, there's no way I'm going to win. Like, he's got all my Sleuth Scouts captured. He had like two of my Hans, all my locators. Like, it was ridiculous. But anyway, I did manage to pull a Sleuth eventually, and I blew up one of the objectives. He had like nine cards captured there, so all of a sudden I had a very full hand. And then I managed to pull up the win on that one. But yeah, my dark side deck just fizzled and popped and died. There was one game where I probably would have won with the dark side deck had I been paying more attention and blown up the Y-Wing that had unit damage still enabled. Because all you needed to do was like one or two unit damage. And I had the crate dragons. So I was like, I'm going to squish one of your little weenie vehicles there. And I went for Rogue Red 2. Not really thinking, but his was already turned off, so I was just like, ah, crap. So he shot me with the Y-Wing. Boom, went my last objective. So yeah, I went 3-3.
Okay.
But it was kind of nice to get out. The tournament was actually in Moncton, so it was a change of meta for all of us. Usually I play with the guys down in Halifax or up here with my buddy Ben when we can actually make our schedules sync, which happens very rarely. So shout out to all those guys over in Moncton. I helped run it a little bit just because they were new to running LCG events. So I was kind of throwing in my experience, my two cents. But yeah, it was good to get out and play because I was feeling a little rusty. Now that store championships are getting closer, I'm like, oh, I need to start trying to, remembering how to play this game.
Yeah.
I was actually supposed to play in a tournament tomorrow, and I was running it, but I sadly had to cancel it since talking to a lot of people, they don't seem to think they'll be able to make it after work since the weather has gotten so bad here and the roads are bad. It seems unlikely people will be able to make it there at a reasonable time so we can leave before the store closes.
So you're not doing it for sure now?
Yeah, I just called the store right before we started this just to let them know.
Okay.
That we're going to stop
it. But gives me more time to study what I should probably be doing.
Yeah, you must be close to finals, aren't you? Or midterm, yeah. Whatever they call them. I don't know.
A couple more weeks of school and I'm done the semester.
Wow.
But I've actually been playing in an Octagon tournament, Card Game DB. And I'm doing dreadful. Because one thing I've noticed about Octagon is I just miss everything. I don't know what it is. Like, I miss triggers I never miss in real life. I go to attack when I think they have no units, and then I'm like, oh, that guy is open right after I declare my attacker. And I'm like, I just... It should be easier in Octagon since you can just, hover your mouse over and look at all the cards, but I just seem to miss everything. But I've been playing against some really nice guys. They've all been super cool, and they've all been super good at building. But it's been fun since all the decks I've been playing and playing against have been not, like, the tier one decks, It's been a lot of fun playing some really different decks.
Right.
I play against Kennedy Hawk, who posts on the forums a lot, and he had some really interesting decks, like decks I've never really seen before. That was pretty fun. And he destroyed me by having every single Wookiee Companion out and Chewbacca and a Wookiee Life Debt on the board. I'm like, well, crap. I can't block because you can just protect it everywhere. How about you, John? Any tournaments coming up for you?
Nothing coming up soon in the next sort of few weeks. I did play a couple of games against a friend of mine just to keep me... alert with the game. I have been playing a bit of Conquest. I was in a tournament for Conquest, and I did okay there. But my Star Wars deck, I'm running a Rebel deck right now, which is Leia with Battlefield Engineers. Sorry, Leia with the Heavy Blaster emplacement.
Oh yeah.
And also Rebel Han. So when your opponent's turn begins, you can sacrifice a unit, and you can bring in event. Sorry, you can remove focus tokens from an enhancement. So I like to hit a couple of times with the heavy blaster emplacements and sacrifice a unit to hit again, which is fun.
And you can sacrifice Han.
You can sacrifice Han, and then I like to hit Leia with let the Wookiee win, clear off all of the focus tokens, and then hit again. So that's always fun. I love Rebels. For me, I know Star Wars is the Jedi Knights and the Sith. It's such a cool idea, but for me, it's Rebels. I love the idea of the Rebels fighting against the man. So it's fun. I like playing Rebel deck more than I do Jedi. It's probably why I don't win so many games.
At least you're having fun. You get something to say, Matt?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that we've got a tournament coming up here, actually, down in Halifax at the Boardroom Game Cafe. We're doing the Winter 2014 kit, which is the one that comes with, like, the four scum deck boxes and the scum playmat that's got like Vader, you know, talking to the bounty hunters and stuff. But we're doing it a bit differently. We decided to do a 2v2 tournament. So we're doing teams for this one. So we're trying to get some new players and stuff in, and we're going to pair them up with some of the more experienced players. And we're going to, like, some of us are already on teams and stuff like that. So we're talking about decks and whatnot. So should be interesting to see what happens there. We've never really played much 2v2, actually. It's just, I don't know. It seems like everything's always 1v1, so it's hard to find the time to squeeze in 2v2 as well, because I find I'm looking at the decks very differently. Like,
yeah.
You know, normally you're just kind of like, all right, how does this deck win? But now I'm kind of like, well, if you play this and I play this, we combo well together. You go first, you know, lock down their board or something like that, and then I go next and blow up all their stuff. Hey, it's all win. So it's an interesting experience so far, just trying to figure out, you know, how we're going to do it. And so it should be interesting. It's coming up on the 13th of December, so about 2 weeks.
Nice. Well, I'll be there. Just kidding. How are you going to do the prize thing? That's what I was wondering. I saw a player you must play with posted on one of the forums. And I was going to ask him, but I totally forgot. Like, because there's only one playmat, I believe, right? How are you going to
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I think the person probably posted was probably Dominic, Darth Domino, I think he goes by on some of the forums.
Yeah, that's who it
we
was.
Haven't really thought about it. I mean, I'm just kind of like, let's wait and see who wins first. Like, there's four deck boxes, so everyone on the team gets a deck box. It's just the playmat's going to be the question mark thing. But honestly, I don't need another playmat. I already have.
Yeah.
I've got a table full of playmats that I'm, you know, on right now, so I think I'm okay. It's a really cool playmat. It'd be nice to have a different one. But like I said last time, I pretty much always play with the Edge of Darkness playmat because it's signed by Eric Lang. So.
Yeah. I always use the Mara Jade one. I love that one.
Yeah.
Or I use my Khal Drogo one because I like looking at his man nipples.
I actually don't like the Mara Jade one.
Oh, I love it. I don't know. Maybe it's just because, like, I won it and, like, it was against all, like, the best people in my areas who I played that day.
Yeah.
So I like felt really good about winning it. I was like, so I'm very proud of that play, Matt, but
yeah,
I think the merit, sorry, Matt, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if I'd won that tournament last weekend in Moncton, I was going to take the Mary J playmat and give it to my buddy Ben, because that's a playmat he actually wants. And he's like, even get me that playmat somehow. That'd be cool. I was like, yeah, I'll see what I can do. But other than that, I'm just like, I don't care. I find the artwork weird, I think. I think it's the purple just throws me off for some reason.
I think it's really good for Netrunner. It's, if you started playing Netrunner, it's got that kind of feel with the rain, almost like a Blade Runner.
Cyberpunky.
Oh,
yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
I did use that playmat for a couple Netrunner games, that's for
there
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But I always make sure I play other games with my Star Wars playmat to be like, you should play this game. It's really cool.
Advertising.
That's actually a good idea. You should also use your Star Wars sleeves for other games.
I do, actually. And I use Game of Thrones sleeves for most of my Star Wars decks. And I often use my Game of Thrones playmat for Star Wars. My Khal Drogo one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I think just want to touch on a few before we wrap up. Last few shout-outs of places where we play. If people are listening in the areas that we live. Matt, you can go first if you want to mention a couple of places.
Okay. The place I play at most is the Boardroom Game Cafe, which is down in Halifax. It's downtown. It's a really cool store because it's one of the gaming cafes. So they're fully licensed, so you can, you know, get beer and coffee and whatever else you want. They got really good food. Every time I go, I get an order of this stuff called naan. It's this bread from India, but they come with like various dipping sauces and stuff, and my wife's hooked on it, so anytime I go, I have to come home with an order to go for her. So it works out good that way. You know, she's like, well, you're gonna give me some bread, right? Yes. So can I go? And then, you know, shout out to where I played last week, which is over in Moncton, Comic Hunter. It's more your traditional comic book slash gaming store, so they got tons of comics and games and stuff like that, of course. It's honestly, it's probably the best gaming store I've ever been to, simply because it's huge. It's got another level where we actually play, and they've got like, I don't know, there's like 12 or 15 tables all set up, and you can fit probably a good 4 to 6 people at a table if you really want. Like, 6, you'd probably be squishing it, but you know, if you've got like a big tournament, whatever, you know, anyway. can suffer for a few minutes. But it's great because the second level, it's open to below, so it's not like you're fully separated from the rest of the store. Like another store I played at a few times, its second level is completely closed off. You can't even tell anybody's up there or anything's going on. So I like it because it gives a bit more exposure, I think.
Oh yeah, pretty awesome. I guess I have like three stores I play at because
nice.
We have a place where we go weekly every Tuesday. What is Thunderground Comics? It's in St. Albert, so just outside of Edmonton. It's actually literally like 5 minute walk from my house, so I like that it's so close. We play there pretty much every weekend. We do some tournaments there. It's a smaller store. Lots of magic events going on there, and lots of comics. And another store, also in St. Albert, the two stores in St. Albert is Mission Fun and Games, where we play quite a bit often too. They host lots of tournaments for us, and our whole group likes to play as often as possible. So we go wherever has open board gaming that day. So they often do. So we go there. And there's one more store in Edmonton, Warp 2, that just recently started ordering LCG kits, and they've been talking with our group, start hosting tournaments, and they have a huge gaming area because they're like the magic store for Edmonton. It's like the biggest place. They host like the Pro Tour qualifiers and stuff like that. So go there often on Sundays. I'm actually going there this Sunday, and I went last Sunday. It's a pretty awesome store. It's huge, and pretty much every comic and board game you could think of is there. How about you, John? Where do you play?
Well, I've got a couple of little shout-outs to do. So I play usually play every Monday night at a bit of a different location. So there's a board games club that has been going for about 5 years, and I started attending that every Monday night. And it's actually located at a local pub, so downtown pub in Ottawa. If you want to, if any anyone's underage, they still allow you to play back games as long as you're not purchasing alcohol. And it's great. It's usually $1 to go along, and there's a massive library of games. It's run by a few people now, but it started off with a gentleman named Jordan, who he's been running it now for a little while. There's another guy named Jeff who has who is kind of helping out run it. It's his thing as well. And the dollar that we pay goes to the server. So we're all playing different board games with a huge library of games that's supplied, and we all get together and eat and drink and have fun playing Star Wars. They get a lot of people. The amount of players we get for Star Wars is only about 6 to 8 each week, but we have counted 60 people playing board games. It's insane. So the Royal Oak on Bank Street, I want to give a shout out there. We all get together and play. And then that kind of leads into my next little shout out. It's Jordan has started a online store, so we're getting our packs from him, and he's been really good to us. So I just wanted to give a little bit of support to him, and he's got a it's called Cardboard Kingdom Online. So we're getting our stuff from him, which is pretty cool. I think that's all that I really wanted to touch on. I think we can kind of wrap up. How can we find, just to reiterate, how can we find everybody online? Again?
Facebook. We're on. You can find our Facebook page. It's Iron Control Podcast on Facebook, and then you can also find us on the various forums like Card Game DB and the Fantasy Flight forums. I think we all post quite a bit on there. And you can always, yeah, just if you ever have any questions, you can message our Facebook page or on Card Game DB. We've had a couple people actually message us already. It was pretty awesome. Do
Oh, yeah.
you have any ideas or, I'm sure in the future we'll be looking for guests. So, if that's anything something you're interested in, send us a message. How about Matt? Do you have anything to add?
The easiest way to reach me is definitely Card Game DB. I'm on there the most. I'm the most active on there. I try to go on the FFG forums, but I find them they're kind of slow, so I tend to mostly stick around Card Game DB. Or you can reach, like you said, any of us on through our Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, probably CardGameDB if you really want to get in touch with me personally. That's probably the best. I actually don't go on the FFG forums that much either, just because, like you said, they're not posting as much because most people go on CardGameDB.
Right.
Yeah, plus I think they're eventually going to roll into each other somehow since FFG bought CardGameDB, but I'm not sure how that's going to work.
That's what I heard. I hope so. I don't like that it's kind of split. You know, new players go to the FFG boards assuming that's the main forums, but it's really not. No one really uses them. But I do see lots of people trying to point them in the right direction, so that's good.
It also depends on the game, though, because if you look at the X-Wing forums, they're extremely active.
Yeah, that's true. Same with Lord of the Rings, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think time to time we're on Octagon as well, playing, trying to get Star Wars. I played Conquest with Dan the other day, which was fun. Which was a lot of fun. So I think on Octagon, I'm Aussie Jedi, as I am everywhere else. So if you see me, send a little g'day.
Yeah, I haven't actually been on Octagon. I used to go on a lot, and I fell off the Octagon bandwagon. And now when I try to play again, I just feel like I'm making these huge mistakes. But maybe I just gotta start playing on it again. Get some more games in. It is a great way to get some extra practice in.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I've been on Octagon since like store championships last year. I was on a lot last year in like, I think February or March. I was on like almost every day of the week because I was practicing with my decks for store championships. And I got better at it. It's kind of like Dan said, I kind of find it a bit of a frustrating interface at times. So sometimes I'll miss things that I wouldn't if the cards were like right in front of me. But I mean, I also sometimes will play games where it's literally, I'm just playing against myself. Like I'll build two decks and just, you know, play both decks and just see what they do and stuff like that. But I like doing test draws and stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
Glad I'm not the only one that does that.
I think most card gamers do that. Decks on my table.
Yeah, I play against myself and then like someone walk in my room, I'm like, go away. You didn't see anything. I'm not playing board games.
I'm playing with myself.
It just sucks when you lose.
But you also win.
Yeah.
I almost never finish the game. When I get to a point where I think the one deck is going to win and the other deck has no chance, I often just, okay, let's try a different scenario.
Yeah. I find Octagon really good to make a quick change. You don't have to wait till a couple of days until your buddies get together again. You can make a couple of changes, save the deck, go back on Octagon, play a new game. See what works.
If you could see all my saved decks on CardGameDB, you would realize I have like terrible deck ADD or something. Like I build a deck and then I go to school. I come home like, no, it's got to be this deck. And I'm also changing my physical decks. And so when I'm planning for a tournament, I probably build 50 different decks and then I bring a deck I actually never played that I built like the night before. And I'm like, ugh, this is like the 50th deck I built this week.
Yeah.
That's why I play against myself so much, so I actually get at least know the deck will work.
Right. Oh, yeah. Cool. So just wanted to thank FFG again for the early look at All Out Brawl, because that getting those cards, having a look at them and seeing how they synergize with the rest of the scum set, it's pretty cool to get the cards.
Hope we can get some more for the upcoming sets coming out. That'd be great. To show me all the cards. Like, yeah. Just them all. That'd be nice of them.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll see more spoilers. FFG's been really good at giving spoilers to the various podcasts and stuff that support any of their LCGs, really. And I've got an established relationship with them from my previous Star Wars podcast, plus my Conquest podcast, so that kind of helped with getting these ones as quickly as we did, where I was kind of already in touch with the guys. So, but yeah, definitely huge shout out to FFG as always. You know, it's awesome. Like, it was literally a day after I sent the email saying, hey, I started a new Star Wars podcast. Oh, cool. Here's some spoilers. I was like, awesome. And now we're doing it again.
Is there anybody we can specifically thank
from FFG? My guy is Evan. He's part of the FFG's marketing department. Mm-hmm. So, Evan in marketing, you know, huge shout out to you. assuming
was he was doing he was doing the commentary with Steven?
He did the commentary during the final match for Star Wars, actually. It was him and I don't know the name. It's the other brother.
I liked his commentary.
Evan, you can really see his enthusiasm for Star Wars. Like, he tells me all the time how much he loves Star Wars. And honestly, I never really noticed it. But then I recently rewatched that match because I wanted to see the Trench Run deck again. So I'm just kind of interested in watching that deck run. And man, he was just loving it. So I was just like, yeah, he does really love this game because he's got a lot of enthusiasm.
It's like how surprised they were to see Trench Run winning, like especially in the first. I think he was doing the commentary for the first game that the Trench Run deck was on the stream, and they were just all so surprised. It was so funny. They just kind of wrote it off as like, oh, that's not going to do anything, and then wins.
Well, it's such an older set now. Like, it's almost 2 years since Star Wars have been out. So for a lot of people, they probably forgot about the set. Like, we're over 100 sets now, so it's hard to remember all of them.
So. Yeah, as one of the Team Covenant guys says, if you didn't play during the course at Only Days, you probably never even seen this card.
Yeah,
yeah, that's quite possibly true.
There's one guy in my area that since he has been playing Star Wars, Trench Run has probably been in 99.9% of his decks. I think the one time he didn't run it was he ran a Jedi deck at regionals, and so I see Trench Run a lot, but I'm sure lots of people don't.
I saw it a lot in the beginning because it was one of those sets that everyone kind of wanted to be like, this set looks really good and that's a really interesting card and stuff like that. So everyone kind of wanted to make it work, but then it kind of fell by the wayside.
I think everyone was taking the set for the objective Mobilizer Squadrons and then also Rebel Assault.
Yeah.
That was the reason, I think, and kind of just the nature of the game, it's part of that deck, so.
Yeah, like somebody at the tournament on the weekend at Comic Hunter was using Mobilizer Squadrons, and he pretty much only used it to play a Rebel Assault or something like that. So every turn he was just refreshing it because it can fully refresh itself with its resources and stuff. So I'm just like, wow, that's really good objective now that I remember what it does.
Yeah.
Pretty
solid.
Good.
You think we should wrap it up? I think we're getting pretty close to an hour.
I think so.
A bit over. So any last remarks?
I'm good.
I think.
You good?
Yeah, I think thanks for joining us for the episode 2 of Ion Control.
Yeah,
we'll do this in a couple weeks again.
Yeah, we'll probably be about 2 weeks before we do this again. This time was a bit faster just because we got the spoilers and we want to get them out as soon as possible. Like you said, thank you very much everyone for listening. We got a lot of really good feedback on the forums and stuff. And our Facebook page exploded almost as soon as we posted it. We went from I went to sleep, there was 12, most of which were friends of one of ours. And now we're at 64 last time I looked. Some of the names I do recognize from around the various Star Wars boards and stuff like that, so it was cool to see. If anyone's got any feedback or anything, we're open to feedbacks, and feel free to send it to us. We're not going to say no, that's wrong, we don't like you, or that. But in the meantime,
we might.
Well, yeah, Dan might. But,
I was kidding.
He's a champion, so he's so.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I'm so. I think I'm better than everybody else now. I'm just kidding. I definitely don't.
Yeah, I know. All right. So in the meantime, everyone, may the force be with you.
Bye.
Bye.